message to you in kind of this way. Over the last several weeks, I've been asking the question every morning when I open scripture and read the quiet time or the devotion or the prayer. I'm asking the question, what is this? What is this? What is God saying? What is God doing? What is the definition of this passage? How is it supposed to speak to me this morning? What am I supposed to do about it this morning? And you know, as I've been walking through these next four messages for you, we begin this series with that question, what is this? Four passages of scriptures that we'll be looking at over the next several weeks. What is this? And I want to be honest with you this morning, when I was looking at this passage of scripture that we'll look at here in just a moment, I've just had a hard time coming up with the thought, what is this? Next week's is easy. It's the face of Mary. This is faith, that's what that is. To believe the impossible promise of God that you, Mary, a virgin daughter of Israel, will have a child in this virginity. Miracle. The third message is Joseph, the face of Joseph. You look at his life and his immediate obedience in the midst of some uncertain times and not really understanding of all that's going on in this betrothed spouse of his, found with child. But yet, Joseph obeys. In the face of Moses, what is this? This is courage. That's what this is. It's courage. And then the fourth Sunday, when the Magi come, you know, the Magi, that cast of men who were king appointers, they appoint kings. And they travel and they follow the star and they find him and they declare him king of the Jews. And they bow to the king, the new king, the king forever. And this is wisdom. It's wisdom when a man or a woman will come to the end of himself to say, you are the king of my life. No longer am I king. I crown you king. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. So I want you to pray with me right now as we open the scripture to talk about the first, what is this? Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so very much for your word and how your word does not return void, but it accomplishes exactly what you desire in the moment that we read it, in the moment we believe it, in the moment we receive it. And I pray that, Father, for every one of us who are hearing this morning, who are listening, that are reading, that in this moment, every moment comes, that when you speak to us, we will not just be reading it, but we will be believing it. We'll be believing it with resolve to say, what is this? What does it mean for me today? What does it mean for our community of faith, our church? What does it mean for our communities? What does it mean for our nation? What does it mean for this world? What does it mean to the places we've been called to? And I thank you for that, Lord. I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your powerful word. And I pray, God, that you would bless us as we look at the faces of Christmas. The faces of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Amen. Great. Hey, don't put the next slide up for a while, okay? Just a minute, okay? Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Again, we're beginning a series on the faces of Christmas. You've seen some of the advertisement already around the church of December 18th Christmas play that'll be on the evening of the 18th. Folks have been working really hard at making this a very special, special time for us in the life of our church. You're going to be hearing about it through the next few weeks. We want to ask that you continue to pray. First of all, pray for it. And second, begin to invite friends to it. Okay? To begin, this is a great opportunity to bring friends to on the evening of the 18th, when we see this production called The Faces of Christmas. But let's begin this morning in this first Christmas series. Verse 5, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abia, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now they were both righteous in the sight of God, and they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Okay. Think about that. She was barren. And not only was she barren, they were both advanced in years. And it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, let me tell you, this is a great honor. 18,000 priests in Israel right now. 18,000. And very few will have the opportunity to go into the inner court, not the very inner court, but the inner courts to burn incense on this great day that they're celebrating. But he's chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not fear. Or do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, nor will he, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." This is him. This is him. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make people prepared for the Lord. Now Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? I'm an old man, and my wife, she's advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who is standing in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, now you'll be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering what his delay was in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And this is the way the Lord, and she said, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the day. This is the way the Lord's dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now I want to skip to 39, if you would. Verses 26 through 38, we'll be looking at 2 weeks when the angel comes to Mary and tells her of her news. And at this time, verse 39, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb in joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." I just got to tell you, I struggled with the title of this until I realized after about the fifth time I read it, this is my title. This is wild. This is wild. Now, I'm not saying this to be cute. I'm not saying this to be clever. This is wild. Now, I went to the internet and I looked up a couple of places of the word wild, and I came across one that just fits it fine. And the word wild, according to this Urban Modern Dictionary, finds the definition of wild as being amazingly out of this world. This is wild. I'm going to tell you, this is wild, amazingly out of this world. Let me tell you why I believe it's wild, and we'll get into it in just a moment. It's wild because an angel named Gabriel comes to speak to an old priest after 400 years of silence. That's wild. God hasn't spoken in years. Let me tell you else what's wild. A mute, aged, old priest. That's wild. That's amazingly. I mean, that's amazingly out of this world to find a priest or a preacher who's mute. You like that back there? Are y'all catching it? Are y'all catching it? That's amazingly wild for the cat to get the preacher's tongue. Let me tell you why else. A pregnant old woman, aged, who'd been barren, infertile all of her life, and then one day she's going to be pregnant. It's wild. Let me tell you else what's wild. An unborn baby growing in the womb, leaps for joy at 6 months, and is so connected to the mom that in the leaping, she gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you, that's wild. That is wild. And so what I want to do is I want to look at these four things about this story and how we can apply it to our lives today. Because I want to tell you, there's nothing tame about God. There's nothing tame about him. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, in any form, in any fashion, because he's God, and he's not tamed. And I want to tell you this, our Christian life should not be tamed. It's wild. And until you begin to believe that the Word of God comes speaking, I'm telling you, it's coming to speak, it's coming to do, it's coming to work. And all of a sudden, things are changing in my heart. And it's just wild. It's just wild. It's amazingly out of this world. And I want to ask you as we begin, the beginning of this message is, let me ask you, is your Christian life wild or is it just too tame? Have you put God in a box, a cage, thinking that it's tame when he's wild? And so when I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about all the things that are happening in it, and it's a bunch. Matter of fact, I thought, how can I do this in 25, 30 minutes? And somebody said, well, you always do it in 45. Right? But I would tell you it's more than 45. We could do a whole series on it and be done with it maybe in March if we're lucky. There's a lot in this Word. And I want you to see this. First and foremost, it's wild because an angel of God is speaking after 400 years of silence. Think about it for a moment. The last prophet in Israel was Malachi, and Malachi actually spoke in the last chapter of his book that John the Baptist was coming in the spirit of Elijah. And then after all this activity, all these miracles, all these things happening, God goes silent. There's no other prophets. There's no other recorded miracles. There are a few things in extra-biblical literature. But I want to tell you, it's just silent. And the place is dark. They're under Roman rule. It's dark. It's thirsty. They're hungry. Now, I'm not saying that God's not at work. Just seems to be silent here. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's silent. Yeah, the word is being taught in synagogues around the world. And folks are waiting. They're looking. They're looking for Messiah to come and deliver them. And what I believe with all my heart, because I just believe when God stirs a people and he's stirring you, he's not just stirring you, he starts stirring the bunch of us. The bunch of us. And I'm not just talking the bunch of us. I'm talking about the bunch of us around the world. And there's a stirring. And there is a waiting. There is an expectation of fulfillment. And all of a sudden, Gabriel comes and stands by the side of this altar. And Zacharias is scared to death. Heart failure. A tick of the heart. A stop of the heart. And Gabriel says, don't be afraid. I want to tell you something. I'm coming to answer your prayer. I'm coming to answer your prayer. I'm coming to give you good news. I'm coming to give you a message. and you, and this whole message of redemption, this whole message of salvation that we've been talking about since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when the Bible says that the enemy one day will be crushed by the head, by the heel of the seed of the woman. It's about to happen, Zacharias. And you are a part. You're a face of redemption. You and your wife are a face of the redemptive work and movement of God. Matter of fact, in this silence in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, on the screen, he says, the last thing the scripture says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. And again, the curtain comes down. There are no more prophets for 400 years. And what he's saying here in this passage of scripture, that this, he breaks the silence. He is saying, listen, there's some great things that are about to happen to you. And before I continue on that, I want to just show you a couple of things about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Notice in verse 6, they're both righteous in the sight of God. They walk blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. They have a great heritage. They come from the line of Levi, from Aaron, and from the division of Biah. I mean, they have this rich, rich ministerial, priestly tradition about themselves. And the Bible says they're righteous. Now, I'm going to say this. Maybe you've heard me say it before. But whenever you go to the Old Testament, like Noah was righteous, blameless in his day. These folks, righteous. Abraham became righteous. Whenever you see righteous in the Old Testament, to me it's just like the New Testament. It doesn't change. They're righteous because of their faith. They're believers. They believe in God, and as a result of their great faith, they walk according to the Word of God. And the Bible says this couple is blameless. In all these commands, I don't know about you, but if my Bible says they were blameless, they're blameless. They're walking right, which just tells me before the blood, before the cross, before the Holy Spirit, you have people walking the walk. Therefore, for us in this place who have Christ, do we have any excuse not to be walking the way God has designed us to walk and restored us to walk in His presence, in His life? It's the wild thing that here's a couple that are declared righteous, who walk the walk, they talk the talk. They're a couple. They're the power couple of their day. And God chooses them in their old age to move in such a great way in their life. Now, so the first thing is wild is that here's Gabriel. He comes in and he appears and God starts speaking after 400 years. But let me tell you something else that's kind of wild, okay? A powerful answer from a long distant, long ago prayer. I want you to notice what he says. He says, Zechariah, the angel, verse 13, said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife will bear you a son, and you will give him the name of John. First of all, this woman has been barren, infertile, and they've probably tried all their lives to get pregnant, and it just didn't happen. And then they got old, and then they got older, and then there was a thing called menopause, and then the menopause left and went away, and I want to tell you, she's doubly barren. You know, I don't know about you, but by the time I'm reaching my 50s and 60s, and we don't have a child, and we've been praying for God, for one, for the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, by the time 50s, I just say, it's a done deal. We stop praying. We just stop praying. We accept it and we move on. It's just what we do. And I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that's what happens. Because he's going to have a hard time believing this. They are advanced in age. Some commentators say they are way past their 60s. They may be in their 70s, and they may even be in their 80s. Your petition has been heard. Can you imagine in your 80s? An angel of the Lord appears to you and says, your petition has been heard. My first thing is, what petition? Well, that you're the one that you prayed all these years. Wait, we stopped praying that long ago. Stop praying that long ago. We accepted it, and we moved on. And our lives have been good. Our lives have been gracious. I don't know about you, but 70, 80 years old, that's a pretty inconvenient time to have a baby, don't you think? Let's see. When the baby is 30, we're gone. Or maybe even less. Now, I just think this is wild. An answer to prayer that they no longer prayed before, that they'd given up on. I don't know about you, but there are things. I get tired praying after the third time for something to happen in 3 days. Can you relate? Yeah. I mean, we want something to happen. We want something to happen now. Matter of fact, we'll develop all kinds of theologies to gotta have a God that says he has to act when you push the button. Well, I want to tell you, they pushed the button a long time ago, and they quit pushing. And all of a sudden, God comes along and says, your prayer has been heard. What prayer might that be? Well, the prayer for a child. It's going to happen. Your petition has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Now, if that's not specific prophetic word from God, I don't know what is. You're old, you're advanced in age, you've been barren, now you're fertile. You're fertile now. Did you hear that? You're fertile now. And now, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. And I'm going to tell you that not only is this going to take place, but this child, this son is going to be special. This son is going to be the one. He's the one, he says. Watch, verse 14. This son will bring you joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Verse 14. This son will be great in the sight of the Lord. This son will not only be great in the sight of the Lord, but he will walk life filled with the Spirit of God, and he will not be influenced by any earthly thing. And that's why he said that this son will not drink liquor, he will not drink wine, he will not drink anything like that. But he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in the womb. Even in the womb. This man will not be influenced. He'll grow to be a man. He will not be influenced by what's happening politically, by what's happening socially, by what's happening in his neighborhood, by what's happening with his friends. He will not be influenced by anything but by the Holy Spirit of the living God. He will be filled with the Spirit. He will be controlled by the Spirit. And by the way, his life, it's going to have an historic impact. An historic impact. His life is going to be so great that he'll go through life. And by the way, listen to me, his ministry only lasts about 6 months. And then he loses his head, okay, at 30 years old. 6 months. He'll still have this historic impact when he will preach repentance and people will turn from their sin, and when they turn from their sin, they'll be ready for Jesus. Matter of fact, he says this is the forerunner. This is the one that's going to go before Jesus. This life and ministry. And what he'll do is what he's going to do, he's going to always point to Jesus. He's not going to point to himself. He's not going to point to the scribes, the Pharisees. He's going to point to Jesus. And one day, Jesus will pass by. His ministry is at full bloom. People are coming to hear him. They're being baptized. It's a great day for to be a disciple of John the Baptist. And Jesus passes by, and he points, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Let me tell you something today. Let me tell you. This baby, the Bible says, is a reward. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The fruit of the womb is something great. And I just see it. Sometimes I just see. I see how the pregnancy is such a burden. A pregnancy, some people, is such a loss. It's such a headache. Well, we weren't planning on the fifth one or the sixth one. Do you know what Elizabeth's initial response is when she's pregnant? She rejoices. She rejoices in this great God who gave her this baby who will have historic significance. This baby that will leap for joy in the 6 months of her pregnancy. 6 months. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's taking place, no matter what's happening, if you happen to be aged, if you happen to be single, if you happen to be whatever, whatever, we must see this baby as a blessing from God. Not to be ripped from the womb because of inconvenience. Not to be ripped from the womb because of inconvenience. Not to be ripped from the womb because of inconvenience. Because of not what society says, or no matter what some political persuasion says, but because of what God says. What God says. What God says. You know, it's like this in every area of life when we see something that doesn't make sense, that's something that's hard, that's something that's difficult. And I'm not saying that these things are hard, not hard and not difficult. I'm just saying that we line up not with the situation, not with the circumstances. We line up with what God says. We line up with what God says. This is a blessing. And at 70 or 80 years old, she is praising the living God for the fruit of this womb. And she's receiving it for what it is. It is a gift from God. It is a distant prayer that they prayed. They prayed for years. They quit praying it. And all of a sudden, God comes and answers. And I want to tell you, whatever it is that seems lost, that seems gone, that seems so far away, God is still in control. And God is able to answer your prayer whenever he wants. However he wants to do it, however long you think it's taking God to answer the prayer. So let me just say a couple of things about this. Really three things. I've added another one to the notes. Let me tell you. Number one, God answers prayer in amazingly out of this world ways. He answers prayer wildly. So listen, why don't you start asking God for amazing things? Wild things. Things that don't make sense from my culture or from my temporal, the way I look at things temporal. And don't be surprised when the answer comes, even if it means it comes a long time. It was a distant prayer, a long distant, long time ago prayer. And it's answered in this couple's 11th hour of their life. Well, actually, their almost 12th, hour of life. What a great God. What a marvelous God. How would God do these amazingly wild, great things? Second, the world is dark and spiritually deaf. And most people in the church, and I'm not talking about Cottonwood, I'm not talking about a specific church, I'm not talking about a denomination or anything, but most in the church today are mute when it comes to the gospel. That's what's going to happen. His priest is going to be a mute priest. And it's dark. And people need to hear a word. Silence for 300 years, and we're mute. Oh, we can talk about this and we can talk about that and we can talk about all these things around us. Talk about our jobs. But when it comes to the amazing gospel, we seem to just zip it up and quit talking. And it ought not be, because of who God is and what God has done in your life. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen what God has done in your lives. I've been there with you when God has done enormous, wonderful, amazing things. And we must speak. We must penetrate the darkness. We must penetrate the silence. Third, John's life is your life. I mean, so point to Jesus. That's it. Just point to Jesus. Ask God every morning, God, what's my assignment today? What is it that you're asking of me today? Because I want to tell you, when Zacharias is afraid, I mean, matter of fact, he's afraid, and he's saying, listen, God, how will I know this for certain? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in age. He said, look, verse 19, I'm standing in the presence of God. I've been in his presence. That's what I do. That's where I've come from. And God has sent me to speak to you and bring you this good news, and you're not believing me. And so you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place. Watch, because you didn't believe my words, which, by the way, whether you believe these or not, they're going to be fulfilled in their proper time. They're going to be fulfilled in their proper time. You know, I love what Jesus said in Luke 18:27, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Zacharias is he, and every one of us are who we are, not only because of Jesus, but because of a man just like us. His name was Abraham. When the whole world was walking in darkness, God appeared to Abram and began to promise him. He's another old man with another old wife who does not have a baby, who has been barren. And Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 4 when he says that finally after 25 years that God had been promising Abraham that he would be heir to the world, and he kept just not being able to grasp it or believe it. And finally the Bible says he believed in the Lord. And Paul would write about it in Romans 4, and he would say that Abraham, at this particular point, in hope against hope, would believe the promise of God, because he knew that God was able to call into being that which does not exist, and he was able to give life to the dead. Great passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, that passage of Scripture speaks of two events in his life. When he called into being that which didn't exist, that baby, to an old couple, barren, and then would do it again. He would speak of it again when he was asked to take this baby to the mountain and sacrifice, because he believed that even if he sacrificed it, God could raise him from the dead. And Zacharias knew this. He knew this in all of his education. He knew the story of Abram. He knew the story of when he became Abraham. He knew the story of Sarai. He knew they were old, and God does these wild things to his people that are good and that are great. And yet he just couldn't grasp it. Couldn't hang on to it. Couldn't handle it. This was just too wild. How can I be for certain? However he's saying it, I'm just going to tell you, he is saying it in unbelief. Because in 2 weeks, we'll look at Mary, who seems to say the same thing, but she's not. She's saying it, what she's saying, in faith. Listen, this is wild. This is wild. God answers, is going to answer this prayer. And all of a sudden, because he doesn't believe, here's the third wild thing. He becomes, the doubting priest becomes a mute priest. It's like God took the remote control and went, you're silent, and I'm not going to turn it back on for 9 months. You get to think about this for 9 months. You get to think about it. You get to mull over it. Yeah, you can write on the chalkboard or wherever you want to walk on, but I want to tell you, you will not be declared. Listen, isn't it ironic that out of 400 years of silence, that God reveals himself to this priest who now can go out and start proclaiming it on the rooftops, but can't do it. He's the first guy with the vision. He's the only guy with the vision. He's the only one that receives the vision. And all of a sudden, he's mute. He can't go talk about it. Because he didn't believe the impossible word of God. We're going to see in a few weeks that that's what faith's all about. It's believing the impossible words of God. They're impossible from human strength. That's why it's faith. If it's possible in my strength to be saved, it's not faith. If it's possible for me to walk in life to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ as he's promised, if that's possible, then I don't live by faith. The Bible says it. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. And so I find it wild that all of a sudden there's a silent old priest, that God takes away his voice after 400 years of silence, and God breaking through the silence with an impossible word. And you know what's interesting? He's still a believer. I mean, he's a believing priest. He's righteous, for goodness sake. And I want to tell you, some of us have our seasons and some of us have our times that we get a word and we just can't believe it. But that doesn't make you an unbeliever. Please. Please. Maybe you've been drifting from God for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. And you've been running from what God has for you. And you wonder why he's silent to you. Silent. And instead of being pregnant with hope, pregnant with destiny, pregnant with possibilities, you're barren. You've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. No, I'll say it different. You never heard me say it. What's the last thing God asked you to believe that you have not believed? And then what's the last thing that God has said to do that you have not done? We'll see this in Joseph in a few, next week. He's a silent old priest now. And he gets silent, and you imagine, I'm going to tell you, a priest in the synagogue would lead his people in songs of praise. He's often the choir director. He knew how to sing. And now he can't sing for 9 months. One of the greatest events in history, and he can't sing about it. Can't speak about it. Can't do anything about it but watch. And so I want to say, like Jesus would say, hey, let's quit be unbelieving and let's be believing. And whatever God has for you, whatever God says, however God speaks to you, a silent old priest is wild. Let me tell you a fourth thing. A pregnant old woman is wild. It's just wild. It's amazingly out of this world. And you know, it's interesting, in verse 25, it just says, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. In Jewish culture, to be barren was a disgrace. And she is saying, after all these years, Not only has it been taken away, but he's given me this son who will go before my Lord. And when Mary runs, after Mary gets her word, she runs to the hill country. The scripture says, look at verse 39. She runs to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and she enters the house of Zacharias. Verse 40. And verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now watch what she says. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Old lady, 6 months pregnant, sorry, old aged woman, pregnant after 6 months. Cousin comes in. She hasn't heard this word. She just knows this baby's gonna go before the Lord and point to Jesus. When Mary comes in and she says hi, the baby leaps, she gets filled with the Spirit, and she knows immediately who that baby is. Just maybe just a month pregnant, maybe just a few days pregnant, maybe just right after the conception of the Holy Spirit in Mary. She knows when she comes in. You know what she knows? She knows that baby in that young cousin. Before she's even showing, knows that that baby is my Lord. That's wild. That's wild. That is wild. That's my Lord. That baby is my Lord. You know what I want to do right now? I was going to do this next week. I want to do this right now. If you have a baby in the womb right now, would you mind just standing up for me? Would you just do that for me right now? How many of you are there? I think there's a couple in here, right? Anybody else? There's two of you right now. Is that all? Is there not more? Oh, really? Congratulations. Hey, y'all keep standing, okay? Keep standing. Hey, keep standing. I'm going to pray for you right now. Oh, you are too. That's right. Anybody else? By the way, our Lauren is pregnant too. She's not here today, but she's got a baby, so I've got another one coming. Okay. Hey, if you're around her, one of these ladies, just put a hand on her right now. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord, for these babies. These women are pregnant with babies that have the same potential and possibility that John the Baptist had to impact their world for the glory of Jesus. And we pray for them right now, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name for great pregnancies, smooth pregnancies. I pray that the lines would fall to them in pleasant places. And that they, Father, that somehow you would speak to them in these days in such sweet ways, Lord, of just telling these young women about their baby. So just as Elizabeth knew the Lord in the womb of her young cousin, they would know who this baby will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you, and I want to bless you, and I want to praise you on behalf of these families that stand with us today. And we ask that you'd be glorified and honored in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hey, clap offering to the Lord. Yeah, yeah. So here it is. Psalm 139:13. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Now here's some thoughts as we close this morning. Number one, Elizabeth is pregnant with the baby with such a wonderful destiny. And here's my thought. Will you not be pregnant, men and women, with the same kind of hope, the same kind of possibilities, and the same kind of faith? Don't be barren spiritually. Be full of the Word of God and what the Word of God says and what the Word of God wants you to become in this life. And pray this for your children. Pray this for your unborn. Pray this for the baby and the babies in the nursery, the babies that are with you now. Even pray it if your baby is 45 years old. Pray it. Just pray it. Just keep praying it. Zacharias couldn't believe, became silent for 9 months. Listen, just this one thought. Avoid the mute button. Avoid it. I know some of us would love to have a mute button sometimes in a conversation and press it. but I'm sure there are people who feel the same about you and me. Avoid the mute button. If you've been silent about the glory of God and what God has done in your life in years past, and you're not pregnant with possibility because you've seen the possibilities of God come forth in your life. You've seen what God can do. You saw God raise you up out of the pit. You saw God restore your marriage. You saw God do these great and wonderful things. Well, he's the same God he was back then. He's the same God. And our God does wild things. So just believe it. Just believe it and avoid the mute button. Third, John the Baptist would always point to Jesus by his words and by his life. Make it your aim to make it your aim to point to Jesus. In all that you do, all that you say, and how you do it, and how you say it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand right now. Would you do that? Sylvia Alvarez, are you still here? Would you come up here? I want to just, I'll tell you what. Could you meet Jeanette in the back? Jeanette, would you take her? And just, I know you've been coming for about a year, but if there's some people who don't know you. Yeah, just go meet Jeanette in the back here. And when y'all go out, go say hi to her, hug her neck, okay? I'm excited about this series. I just want to thank you for all that you do at Cottonwood. Those of you that are just faithful to pray, faithful to come, faithful to serve, faithful to be. I want to just let you know that there's always opportunities to serve, always opportunities to do something. And if you feel like you don't have a place, come see me. You have a place. If you're in this body, you have a place. I want to remind men, come on tomorrow night at our place, and just enjoy a campfire and some stew or chili or whatever we're going to cook tomorrow. Just be a great time of sharing. There's really no agenda. It's just getting around the fire, talk, visit, pray for one another, and I pray that you'll come. Also, we've got some Navajo brothers coming out this week to cut firewood. They're supposed to be here Wednesday, is that right? Thursday? Yeah, and some of us are going to be helping them cut that wood and stack it onto their on trailers that they're bringing. They're going to bring two trailers. If you're available Thursday, Friday, or Saturday to cut wood, would you just let me know, and I'll get your number if I don't have it, and text you when they arrive, and when are some times you could come help cut wood, okay? Hey, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Lord be gracious to you. Lord give you peace right now, right here. May that face shine on you so that you shine and point to Jesus in all that you do. When you go into your house, to the secret most place of your mind, that you'll shine even there. And then when you walk out of your prayer closet, when you walk out and you see the public and the public sees you, your life, your words, may they point to Jesus who's shining on you with this great peace. Amen. Amen.